I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's December 5th, and we have a lot to talk about. One of the subjects a lot of people living with MS are talking about is cannabis. And they aren't just talking about it. A growing number of people living with MS are turning to cannabis to help manage some of their MS symptoms. So today, Dr. Michelle Cameron is joining me to discuss the risks and benefits of using cannabis for symptom management. Dr. Cameron is a neurologist and physical therapist and a professor in the Department of Neurology at Oregon Health and Science University. But before we get to my conversation with Dr. Cameron, there are a few other things that you should know about. The holiday season is upon us, and for many, that means traveling to be with family or friends. Just a couple of weeks ago, on the Sunday following Thanksgiving, almost 3 million passengers set a new record in the United States for air travel in a single day. But if you're traveling with a wheelchair or a scooter, air travel can be awkward, it can be difficult, and it can even be risky. Every month, U.S. airlines damage about 950 wheelchairs and scooters. And when you depend on a wheelchair for mobility, the last thing you want to discover when you land is that your wheelchair is damaged and unusable. These damages are usually the result of wheelchairs not fitting into the cargo door of some aircraft in an upright position. Another reason that wheelchairs get damaged is that they often aren't secured in the aircraft's cargo hold. So, in response to a complaint that was filed with the U.S. Department of Transportation, United Airlines has announced the first steps in better ensuring that wheelchairs arrive at their destination intact. Beginning in early 2024, United will introduce a first-of-its-kind filter on its website that will make it easier for people who use mobility devices to find flights on which their wheelchairs can be securely transported in the cargo hold. And in a first for the U.S. airline industry, United will reimburse passengers for any increase in fare if an alternate flight is needed to accommodate their wheelchair. United has also committed to conducting a pilot program to explore better ways to accommodate travelers whose wheelchairs are delayed or damaged during a flight. This six-month pilot program will begin this fall at Houston Bush Intercontinental Airport and will focus on the period of time between a passenger's arrival and when United returns their wheelchair or provides a loaner wheelchair if that passenger's wheelchair is damaged. United has also established an accessible travel advisory board. Comprised of individuals with disabilities, this board will explore additional initiatives designed to improve the air travel experience for passengers flying with disabilities. Now, these are all small steps, but the fact that a major U.S. airline is taking them is huge. And competition between airlines being what it is, I'm hopeful that we'll see this same focus and attention being paid by other major airlines. The first ever adaptive clinical trial for Australians living with MS gets underway next month. This clinical trial, called Platypus, is focused on reversing the neurological damage caused by progressive MS. The trial is actually an extension of Octopus, the progressive MS clinical trial that was launched in the UK this past April. Octopus got its name because the trial design allows for several drugs to be tried at the same time. So the trial has multiple arms and multiple stages. And while this type of trial design has been used before to test drugs for prostate cancer and COVID, it's never been used in MS research. The first two medications to be tested in the Platypus clinical trial are high-dose metformin, a diabetes drug that will be tested to determine whether it may help regenerate myelin, and a version of high-dose alpha-lipoic acid, which is a food supplement that acts as an antioxidant and has already been approved in Germany for treating weakness, pain, numbness, or tingling in damaged nerves. Like Octopus, the Platypus clinical trial is a game changer. It has the potential to make MS clinical trials more efficient, and that means that better treatments get developed, tested, and approved faster. The Platypus clinical trial is being funded with an initial $4 million investment from MS Australia and MSWA, and we'll be sure to keep you updated on the progress of this clinical trial as news becomes available. Last week, the FDA granted clearance for an artificial intelligence tool that's been designed to analyze MRI scans to detect and monitor MS disease activity. Now, this type of clearance is required for medical devices used in the United States, and it signifies that, in this case, the software called Pixel Neuro meets the FDA's safety guidelines. There's plenty of research to remind us that time equals brain. Using this next-generation software means that reading and accurately analyzing an MRI scan will take just minutes. It puts MRI results into a neurologist's hands faster, which means any necessary treatment or changes in treatment can begin sooner. Pixel Neuro has already received the same sort of clearance from the European Union, and the software is already in use in more than a dozen countries. You can expect to hear many similar announcements being made over the coming months as artificial intelligence continues to be integrated into both medical research and clinical practice. There's initial positive news coming from a phase 1 clinical trial designed to assess the safety of injecting neural stem cells directly into the brains of 15 people living with high levels of disability as a result of secondary progressive MS. After following the trial participants for 12 months, the international research team reported that none of the participants showed an increase in their MS symptoms or any worsening of disability, and none of the participants reported symptoms that suggested either a relapse or a significantly worsened cognitive function. So the three takeaways from this initial information are, first and foremost, injecting neurostem cells into humans has been shown to be safe. Additionally, you want to remember that secondary progressive MS is characterized by the steady worsening of symptoms and increasing disability. The fact that this therapy seemed to stop that disease progression is an important win. And finally, while this was a small phase 1 study, it's worth noting that these early results suggest that neural stem cell therapy represents one more avenue of exploration in understanding how stem cell therapy might best stop MS progression. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. I want to switch gears from talking about stem cells as disease-modifying therapies to talking about the medications available for managing MS symptoms. Some of the most common MS symptoms, like fatigue, are still not effectively managed by symptom management medications. That's why some people living with MS are looking beyond FDA-approved medications and using cannabis to manage some of their symptoms. But which MS symptoms have been shown to be responsive to being treated with cannabis? Where should someone buy medical cannabis? And is using medical cannabis even legal? My guest, Dr. Michelle Cameron, joins me in a moment to answer these questions and more. What do you do if one of your MS symptoms isn't being managed by an FDA-approved medication? Well, a growing number of people living with MS are turning to cannabis for relief. Dr. Michelle Cameron is returning to the podcast today, this time to discuss the risks and benefits of medical cannabis and how people living with MS are using it. Dr. Cameron is a neurologist and physical therapist and a professor in the Department of Neurology at Oregon Health and Science University. Welcome back to the podcast, Dr. Cameron.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
This can be a confusing subject, and some of our listeners may have concerns about the legality of using medical marijuana. Dr. Cameron, can you address those concerns?
Yes and no. I am a doctor. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not your doctor. So you should consult with your doctor about your use and with a lawyer about the legality. But in quick summary, cannabis of any variety is a Schedule I drug, according to the federal law. That means it has no legal use. So it is actually banned by federal law, number one. Number two, some states have chosen to legalize either medical and or recreational cannabis. And so there's state law, federal law, and state law varies from state to state. And then on top of that, there's your employer, which may not be the law, but if they say, we don't care if it's legal, you can't use it while you're working, that can affect your job. So you need to think about all of those things as you explore this. We'll mention this as we go through, but there is no FDA-approved form of cannabis for MS or MS symptoms. That doesn't exist. So everything you're using is federally prohibited and may be okay by state law.
When people talk about medical marijuana, we hear a lot of different terms, so some definitions are probably in order. Can you explain what the terms cannabis, cannabinoids, medical marijuana, and medical cannabis each refer to?
No, so cannabis is the plant, or marijuana, they're interchangeable. That's the plant that has chemicals in it. Those chemicals are called cannabinoids. So the plant is cannabis, cannabinoids are the chemicals in the plant. And when we call it medical cannabis or medical marijuana, that's the same plant. It's just you're using it for medical reasons. So that's why we call it that.
You mentioned those chemicals, those cannabinoids. Can you help us understand the difference between THC and CBD?
Sure. So THC and CBD, tetrahydrocannabinol, and CBD, cannabidiol, big long words, no quiz, are the two most common cannabinoids in the cannabis plant, in cannabis. THC is what's intoxicating. That's what people use because it's fun. It has some euphoric effects. It might make you sleepy. It might make you excited. But that's why people use THC mostly. And CBD is not intoxicating. So not fun, not bad, just probably won't feel it or it might make you a little sleepy, but may have some therapeutic effects.
Well, to that point, how do cannabinoids work in the body? And why are more people with MS using cannabinoid products?
So cannabinoids bind to actually cannabinoid receptors in your body. So your body has those receptors in the nervous system, in the immune system, also other areas. So you intake one of these chemicals, it binds to a receptor in your body, and that then has downstream effects. And so that's why people with MS are using them, is because that binding may then actually have effects you like that make you feel better.
I think I heard you begin to answer my next question just a moment ago, but just to be clear, are prescription pharmaceutical cannabis products available, and are any of them FDA approved to treat MS or MS symptoms?
I'll sort of start with the second part of that question, because I think that's the one most relevant for our audience today, which is, are the prescription of pharmaceutical cannabis products FDA approved to treat MS or MS symptoms? The answer is no. There is no pharmaceutical cannabis product approved to treat MS symptoms or MS in the United States. Now, there's a couple of little caveats to that. In Canada or New Zealand or many parts of Europe, there is one cannabis-based product that's approved to treat spasticity in people with MS, generally spasticity that hasn't responded to other medications. So that exists. And there is one cannabis-based product that is FDA approved in the U.S. It's a CBD-only product, so it's good we understand what CBD is. So it has essentially no THC in it, and it's approved for seizures associated with very rare forms of epilepsy.
What types of medical marijuana products are there, and what are their different methods of administration?
So there are huge number of medical marijuana products. If you go to a dispensary, you'll see an array just like if you went to a wine shop. Huge number. There's flower that people smoke. There's various tinctures and concentrates. There's all sorts of things you can eat, from cookies to gummy bears. There's things you can put on your skin. So lots and lots of different products by how you take them. And then again, lots of different kinds of products by the THC-CBD combination and the flavor and what they look like and how pure they are, how strong they are. So plethora of products.
Well, with so many options, deciding on the right medical cannabis product and the right potency of that product doesn't seem like an easy thing to do. Where or how does someone get started?
So I think there's sort of a couple of places you get started. The first place you get started is talk to your doctor. Let's be sure this is something that at least is likely to be safe for you, might be helpful for you, is relevant, won't be dangerous together with other medications you're taking. So start with your doctor. The next place is the dispensary, see what they have. And then whatever you're considering, start low. Start with a little bit, see how you feel, see how it does. You might then ramp it up if it's maybe a little helpful, but not a problem. But start low and go slow.
There have been clinical trials that have evaluated the impact of cannabinoids on MS-related symptoms. What does the research show about the efficacy of cannabinoids for treating MS-related pain?
So interestingly, there is research. It's almost all on a one-to-one, so an equal amount THC-CBD product that's in an oromucosal spray. So you spray it in your mouth and it gets absorbed through the skin on your mouth. And that research shows that for many people, cannabinoids help reduce their experience of pain. Doesn't make it go away completely, but does have some benefit.
What about spasticity? It's such a common MS symptom. Can cannabinoids help people with MS better manage their spasticity?
So again, the research tends to suggest there's probably about a 30% effect reduction on patient-reported spasticity, but certainly, again, not making it all go away, and doesn't work for everybody. But yes, there's pretty good data that it helps. When we try to measure it, the effect, we don't see it. So if we try to measure what a doctor feels of your spasticity, which is a little harder to do, we don't see that effect. But when we ask patients, they report a benefit.
I'm curious, have cannabinoids been shown to be more effective, even in patient-reported spasticity, than treating that spasticity with baclofen, for instance?
Excellent question, and I wish I knew the answer. So nobody's done that comparison. They've compared it to placebo, or they've added it to baclofen. You're on these medications. It's not enough. Can we get you a little bit more? And the answer is yes. But to do what we call a head-to-head trial, baclofen versus cannabis, hasn't been done.
What do we know about medical cannabinoids and their ability to improve other MS symptoms like ataxia, tremor, or sleep disturbances?
So in general, for other symptoms, we aren't seeing the same kind of benefit. Pain and spasticity are where it's most prominent. We're seeing the most effect. For everything else, I mean, individually, you may, but the evidence is much less supportive. And with sleep, we also run into the problem of it may help you sleep better when you start, but then if you try to stop, your sleep actually might get worse.
Have cannabinoids been shown to improve mood-related MS symptoms like depression or anxiety?
So not well tested in people with MS, a very active area of research in general for psychological issues, depression, anxiety. Not something we have the answers to yet, but certainly a big question.
I want to make sure we also touch on possible side effects. So can you talk about the common side effects associated with cannabinoid products?
Sure. So I think the most common are the ones you sort of might expect, what you saw people in high school having if they were using cannabis. So what were the things? they weren't smarter while they were high, right? So cognitive effects. Does it make your brain work better? When they've looked at people who use cannabis chronically, they do less well on cognitive tests. Though interestingly, if they stop for a while, the cognition seems to come back. So it's not permanent. So cognitive effects, effects on balance, dizziness, those sorts of things. And then appetite. Some people eat more. So those are sort of the common things. I think two other things to think about. One of them is this can interact with other medications. And that's true for CBD and THC. Can interact with other medicines you're taking, make them work either more or less. So that varies. And then addiction or dependence or use disorder. Can you run into trouble where you keep using it even when it's not helping you, like people do with alcohol or other drugs? And the data says about 9% of people who use cannabis get into trouble with what we call cannabis use disorder. They're still using it even though it's not helping them because it's hard for them to quit.
I live in California, where there are a number of ways that someone can purchase a cannabis product, ranging from dispensaries to websites to taking a quick trip to Mexico. I'm curious, are there safety or quality or potency concerns associated with purchasing a cannabis product? And what would you say is the safest way to obtain medical cannabis products?
So I would steer away from going to Mexico or going online. There's actually no legal way to buy cannabis from either of those routes. So whatever you're getting is not monitored at all. Who knows what you're getting when you buy something they call cannabis or a cannabis product from Mexico or online? Could be absolutely anything. Could be something much stronger, or could be somebody's lawn clippings and anything in between. You have no idea. And it could have pesticides in it, herbicides in it, things to make it way more. Who knows? So that's what I would steer away from. The dispensaries are likely safer, at least in most countries. And then again, it will most states, excuse me. So the state will have laws, and then the city, the county may have laws that govern what is sold and the accuracy of the labeling, the purity, and the potency, the safety, the quality. How well those laws are implemented varies. Do they have the money to actually go check? Not always. Is every dispensary following through? Not always. But at least that's a good start. And then it's sort of a little buyer beware. This isn't FDA approved where every product is tested. Sort of what you do with any other product. If you walked into a bakery and it was filthy on the floor and the lights weren't working and you're like, this doesn't look so good. It's probably not a good sign, and it's not a good sign in a cannabis dispensary either. And I can't promise you that bread will be good in a place that looks nice. We've all bought baked goods that looked lovely and tasted awful. And cannabis can be the same, but at least it's a better chance. Ask around, etc. But it is a little bit of a buyer beware market. But at least the dispensaries have some regulation and hopefully are abiding by it.
Dr. Michelle Cameron, thank you for all you do to improve the quality of life for people living with MS. I always appreciate having you join me on the podcast. So thanks once again for talking with me today.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/327. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. and it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.